ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summon Bonon, Chapter 8, Lord Krishna shows the universal form within his mouth, text number 19. Tasmannandat majo yamte Narajana samogunai Srijakirtyanubhavena Gopajashwa samahita Tasmannandatmajo dhyante Narajana samogunai Sriya kirtyanubhavena Gopajashwa samahita Tasmannandatmajo yamte Narajana samogunai Sriya kirtyanubhavena Gopajashwa samahita. Please chant. Tasmannandatmajo yamte Narayana samogunai Sriya kirtyanubhavena Gopajashwa samahita. Tasmat, therefore, Nanda, O Nanda Maharaj, Atmajaha, your son, I am this, te, of you, Narayana samaha, is as good as Narayana. Narayana himself showing transcendental qualities. Gunai, by qualities. Sriya, by opulence. Kirtya, especially by his name and fame. Anubhavena, and by his influence. Gopajashwa, just raise this child. Samahitaha, with great attention and precaution. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In conclusion, therefore, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayana. In his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence, he is exactly like Narayana. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously. Purport. In this verse, the word Narayana Samaha is significant. Narayana has not equal. He is asamordva. No one is equal to him and no one is greater than he is. As stated in the Shastra, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahmarudrari Daivatai Samatvenaiva Bhiksheta Shapashanti Babedruvam. One who equates Narayana even with the great exalted demigods and Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma is a pashandi, or agnostic, an agnostic. No one can equal Narayana. Nonetheless, Gargamuni used the word sama, meaning equal, because he wanted to treat Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had become Nanda Maharaj's son. Gargamuni wanted to impress upon the mind of Nanda Maharaj, quote, "Your worshipable deity Narayana is so pleased with you that he has sent you a son almost equal to him in qualifications. Therefore, you may designate your son with a similar name, such as Mukunda or Madhusudana. But you must always remember that whenever you want to do something very good, there will be many hindrances. Therefore, you should raise and protect this child with great care. If you can protect this child very cautiously, as Narayana always protects you, the child will be as good as Narayana." End of quote. Gargamuni also indicated that although the child was exactly qualified like Narayana, he will enjoy more than Narayana as Rasa Bihari, the central enjoyer of the Rasa dance, as stated in Brahma Samhita, Lakshmi Sahastra Satasam Brahma Sevyamanam. He will be served by many gopis who will all be as good as the goddess of fortune. Omagyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Brahmapada Swami Iti Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyaiva Chapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So this is a very, Prabhupada quotes a very famous verse that Lord Chaitanya used many times in his teachings, in at least in a couple of different circumstances. This verse, Jastu Narayanan Devam. So the famous part of the verse is this, that Prabhupada quotes also, but Lord Chaitanya does quite a bit, is this Sapashandi Babet Dhruvam, that a person will be considered a Pashandi. Pashandi means an atheist or a non-believer or agnostic, or what the Christians will call what is the word that they use? A hidden, hidden, and the Muslims will call, they have a name for it too. What is the name that they use? They have a name, but remember, you know, hearing. So, non-believer, atheist, like that, Pashandi. So anyone who consider even the greatest demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, what to speak of other demigods, what to speak of any type of jiva, to be equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana, he is considered an atheist. So that puts, it's a very strong statement, because followers of Hinduism who base their beliefs in the Vedas, they have this idea that different demigods are equal to Narayan. So they have the famous Trimurti, or Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva to be supreme. And also there are certain sects in India that they understand also that these also extend to five principal deities, that is Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Durga Devi, and Lord Ganesh, I believe. So these are the five, you know, prominent deities that I consider supremely worshipable. And even others extended in general, the Mayavadis, they understand that actually everybody, all the jivas, are equal with Narayan, are one with Narayan. So all of these people that are following or that are believing or that are having these conceptions, as per Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoting the scriptures, and this is not just Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the scripture, the Vedic scriptures, the Shastra, they are considered pasandi. So it's a very conclusive statement. Lord Chaitanya, at least there is two passages that I recall in which he established this fact. One was when he visited Vrindavan, when he finally came to Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya displayed all kinds of wonderful, beautiful pastimes. And part of his routine is that he will sit under this tamarind tree to chant the holy names. The place is called Imlitala, which is the tamarind tree. And it's by the Yamuna, it's by the shore of the Yamuna, so he will sit there and he will chant. And it's pretty amazing. There's a very nice temple there, and we can still, now the tree has left its body, but they still have the trunk of the tree there, so one can actually sit in the very place where Lord Chaitanya used to chant. So once people used to come and see him there, so actually he was very approachable, so the people of Vrindavan will come and talk to Lord Chaitanya. So one time a group of village people, the Vrindavan people, will come and say to Lord Chaitanya in the conversation that they actually seen Krishna. They seen Krishna every night. And Lord Chaitanya sort of didn't take him serious, say, yeah, that's all very fine. And but they were so taken, and they have so much belief in what they have seen that they even convinced Lord Chaitanya's servant, who was Bhattacharya, what was his name again? Balabhadra Bhattacharya, that he also wanted to go and see Krishna, because they say, you know, that the whole thing is that every night they will see Krishna dancing in the hoods of Kaliya by the Kaliya Ghat. This was their vision. So many people from the village got to have this vision. So they were very taken by that. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya permission to go and see Krishna. My Lord, can I go and see Krishna tonight? And Lord Chaitanya chastised Balabhadra Bhattacharya, you talking like a fool, and you know, you're such a scholar, and now you've been convinced by the foolish talk of foolish people. So you sit here and chant Hare Krishna, and you will see Krishna. So anyway, eventually it was discovered by, there was a group of gentlemen who came and told Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya says, so have you seen Krishna also? And they explain, no. This is just the foolishness of people. What happened is that at night, there is this fisherman who goes in the Yamuna and he lights a torch. And then he catches fish. But people from the distance, they think that the boat is the Kaliya serpent. The light on the torch is the jewels on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent, and the fisherman is Krishna dancing on the top of the Kaliya. And so they got this illusion and they're creating all this commotion in the village. But actually the fact is that they're seeing Krishna. They actually have seen Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya asked the gentleman, so how is that? How is that they seen Krishna? And they say, they seen Krishna because they come and see you. You are Krishna. You are Krishna who has appeared in Vrindavan again. And then Lord Chaitanya say, Vishnu, 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 don't say that. You can't equate a jiva with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he went on to tell them that basically to make the point that you can just freely or try to equate anyone with the personality of Godhead. Whatever exalted this person may be, you cannot do that. So then he quoted this verse that just to Narayana Devan. So Brahma Rudrari Daivata, Brahma, Rudra, or any of the demigods. So to equate them, Sama Tve Daiva Bhiksheta, then Shapa Shanti. You will be considered an atheist as per the scriptures. He also quoted this verse when he converted all the Mayavadi sannyasis during his visit to Kashi. And all the Mayavadi sannyasis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, they used to deride the Vaishnavas as sentimentalists, and as such they started to deride Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting Sankirtan mission. So under the request of Lord Chaitanya's followers, he met the Mayavadis sannyasis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, and then he was able to convert them into Vaishnavas. But in the conversations with Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya also made the same point, specifically because the belief of the Mayavadis was that they considered themselves as Brahman, and in this Advaita philosophy, they understand themselves as being one with Brahma and with Brahman, and meaning that they are non-different than the personality of Godhead. So they equate themselves with. So Lord Chaitanya also quoted this verse to make the point to Prakashananda Saraswati. So then this is something that is understood by advanced personalities who have grasped the transcendental knowledge of the absolute truth. Garga Rishi was perfectly acquainted with this understanding, and very purposely he told Nanda Maharaj that your son is Narayan, basically, because you cannot say someone is as good as Narayan with basis on the Shastras. When you say he's as good as Narayan, is Narayan himself, because no one can be equal or greater than Lord Narayan. So Asamordva means that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. So meaning no one is equal or greater than. So if you have someone that is equal, means that is the Lord himself. So so Garga Muni is informing Nanda Maharaj of this fact, that his worshipable deity is present before him. He, Garga Rishi, speaking in a way that in one sense allows Nanda Maharaj to, I mean, it's not, it is perfectly understood when you analyze it with the help of transcendentalists or, you know, acharyas who have full knowledge of the absolute truth. Otherwise, it can be a bit confusing. So the expression on the knowledge is almost a little bit indirectly expressed. Because Garga Rishi can say to Nanda Maharaj, your son is God. But he didn't say that. He said he's as good as God. So, and he's still saying he's as good as God. He said, you should raise this child very carefully and cautiously. Do you need to be careful and cautious with God? God is a protector. So why do you need to protect God? So in one sense, is allowing or setting the lila of the Lord. So he doesn't speak directly from very purposely. In one sense, also Garga Muni, he has expressed before, we come to understand that he is being careful to avoid kamsa, to create too much disturbance for the devotees and for the people of Vrindavan, or to create so much disturbance in the pastimes of the Lord. So he is being cautious about, you know, saying directly, either to Nanda Maharaj or as a matter of fact, you know, to whoever is. I mean, Nanda Maharaj did this name-given ceremony in a very secluded manner. But Garga Muni was very cautious not to directly say, your son is God. So this was, this is very much, we get this sense right here. Prabhupada opened it more in terms of Garga Muni's mind. Garga Muni wanted to impress upon the mind of Nanda Maharaj, your worshipable deity Narayan is so pleased that he has sent you a son almost equal to him in qualifications. So that's a bit confusing. So almost could be lesser, but almost could be more too. So in the case, the actual case is like Lord Krishna possesses qualities that Lord Narayan doesn't possess. So Lord Narayan, it is said that he possesses 60 of the 64 qualities that Krishna has. The four qualities that Krishna has that Lord Narayan doesn't have is that his beauty is incomparable. And Lord Narayan is described as exquisitely beautiful, but Lord Krishna's beauty is beyond Lord Narayan's beauty. Lord Krishna has very beautiful childhood pastimes. Lord Narayan doesn't have a mother, so he doesn't perform childhood pastimes. We don't see Lord Narayan as a baby. Lord Narayan, Krishna plays the flute that is it is always described as totally enchanting. He enchants the whole, all the living entities, the Vrijavasis as well, of all the living entities in Vrindavan with the playing of his flute. And Lord Krishna performed very loving pastimes with millions and millions of goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Sahastra Sataban Sam Brahmasevi Amanam. So Lord Narayan is served by goddess Lakshmi Devi, but Lord Krishna is served by hundreds and millions of Lakshmis. That serve him in a very, very intimate way. So we need, the whole thing is that we need to be guided by our acharyas to be able to fully understand this facts, because sometimes it can be very confusing. So thus you have even very dedicated and pure Vaishnavas in other sampradayas that consider that Lord Vishnu, that Lord Krishna is an expansion of Lord Vishnu. Especially we see that in the Sri Sampradaya, and there's the famous discussion between Bhyankatabhata, who was the head priest of the Sri Rangan Temple and Lord Chaitanya, who stayed in his home for the whole period of the rainy season when he was touring the South India. And in this conversation, Lord Chaitanya established the supremacy of Lord Krishna as the Swayam Bhagavan, or the source of all incarnations. So Lord Vishnu is an expansion of Lord Krishna. And in the discussion, Lord Chaitanya questioned or challenged Vyenkatabhata's conception when he says that if Lord Vishnu is supreme and Lord Krishna is an expansion of Lord Vishnu, why is Godhead Lakshmi wants to perform austerities to enjoy the Rasa Lila dance of Krishna? And then Vyenkatabhata, he said, well, there's no problem with that, because there's no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna. So she's not doing anything, you know, she's just enjoying the fun that her husband is having in a particular, you know, mood like that. But Lord Chaitanya didn't say then why she was not allowed. She had to perform austerities to be allowed. And then Vyenkatabhata had no answer for that. So the fact is that that came to be understood by that is that there is a much more higher intimate manifestation of the personality of Godhead, that to have entrance into that intimacy you have to be devoid of the awe and reverence becomes overcome by this love or intimacy. So because of that, Lakshmi Devi was not qualified to enter, because her mood towards Lord Vishnu is of servitorship in awe and reverence. So she's always at the feet of Lord Vishnu, massaging his feet. But the gopis, sometimes they chastise Krishna. Sometimes they punish Krishna. Sometimes they have Krishna serving them, especially Srimati Radharani. We have in so many instances that Krishna is massaging Radharani's feet, Srimati Radharani's feet. And sometimes Krishna is combing Srimati Radharani's hair. So Krishna is in this position of serving Srimati Radharani. And also, as a matter of fact, he served his parents too. We have the Krishna taking the shoes of Nanda Maharaj over his head and bringing it to Nanda Maharaj. So there's a much higher manifestation and than Lord Vishnu, and that we can understand because of the mercy of the great devotees. So it's an important thing. So it's important to go through to these narrations under the guidance of a pure devotee to be able to fully understand. Stop here. Any comments or questions? Oh, here's the microphone. Here, Jai Baladev. No one is there. You?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, thank you for your class. This verse, you were basically talking about the qualities of Krishna and Narayana, how Krishna has more qualities in it. Basically referring to this verse where it says, is it Gargamuni? Gargamuni equated Krishna to Narayana. And so just some thoughts, and maybe you could expand on them. There's obviously no problem with Krishna Gargamuni considering Krishna equal to Narayana, because obviously they're the supreme controller, both of them. But we see that over and over again, the same theme appears in the sastras, that there is a problem when we equate ourselves to the supreme controller. And even though we may not say it, I'll just mention, go along with the Indra theme that was mentioned the other day, is that Indra, even though he was devotee, and we see that sometimes devotees, you know, by Krishna's arrangement, sometimes become influenced that they're the supreme controller. So in the Govardhan Leela, Indra, he thought he was the supreme controller because he thought he had control over who lives and who dies. But when Krishna humbled him by lifting the Govardhan Hill, he realized, oh yes, I'm not the supreme controller. And we see the common theme in the material world. As practicing devotees or spiritualists, obviously, you know, we may not try to kill others, but the tendency is that we do try to have the tendency to kill others' reputation because we think we have control over whose reputation lives and whose reputation dies, usually based on our position. Indra had a very powerful position, or maybe we have money or some opulence, so that's usually the tendency. But one thing I appreciate about Krishna in this regard is that some point I mentioned the other day is that Krishna, in the material world, we see so many, like, in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, I would read so many things on the internet, you know, about this devotee, that sannyasi, but then I started reading that. But the one thing I've noticed of people who criticize devotees on the internet is that they always do it anonymously. You know, if you have to say what is true, then why don't you publicly reveal yourself? Because they know they're not the supreme controller. It may be true, but it's not the absolute truth, because you're not the absolute truth, meaning that you'll become entangled in some reactions, and you know that. So that's an indication that whatever you say, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's true. You're not the absolute truth. That's why you have to hide so anonymously. And so that's one thing I keep in mind, because we see, unless Krishna sanctions something, then it's almost pointless of criticizing anyone. Because I'll just mention one last pastime in this regard, because in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, the third part, Ansha Khan, chapter 9, it mentions a pastime, Bhrigamuni, when he kicked Lord Vishnu. So in this pastime, it's described that Bhrigamuni disrespected his superiors. He ignored Brahma, insulted Shiva, and kicked Vishnu. And so from a external point of view, if we see somebody who disrespects their superior, then naturally we'll criticize them. Rumors will go spreading around. But the funny thing about this pastime, it mentions that Bhrigamuni purposely disrespected his superiors, not on his own will, but by Krishna's sanction. Krishna mentioned it. And it says that anyone who criticizes Bhrigamuni, thinking him disrespectful, that person will be vanquished. And so the conclusion of that chapter mentions that one should be, what Lord Chaitanya says, Orva Bahu Kari Koha Shuna Sarva Loka Nama Sushri Ganti Pada Kante Eshloka. One shloka that keeps us safe in all circumstances is to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, etc. Because Krishna, we can only see outside, but Krishna can see inside, because he's the absolute truth. So he knows all circumstances. That's why he says in the Gita chapter 7, Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Char Arjuna Bhavishani Chaputani Mamtu Vedana Kashana. I know everything past, even before something happened. And I know everything past, present, and future. And I also know all living entities. Why? Because he's Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishati. He is situated within the heart of every living being. But we see this common theme pierces up again and again, where we see that, you know, people or sometimes our devoted relationships, we speak something because we think we have influence over somebody's reputation, etc. I'm in control. But just because we say something privately, that doesn't mean it will prevent us from receiving a reaction from him, because Krishna has eyes everywhere. We may install surveillances, but Krishna has surveillance in the heart. And so how is a person to know, if I have to ask a question, whether I'm receiving a reaction? Usually the reaction is that I don't have any peace of mind, usually, and I don't have any taste for Krishna Katha. But still, that may not click. So what is the person to do? How do they know that I'm receiving? So we have so many reactions. Of course, we have to be humble about it, that whatever, that's why I'm miserable. I have so many karmic reactions. But how does the person to know why I'm not improving my Krishna consciousness, and how do I know I'm receiving reactions from equating myself to the Supreme Controller?
Well, in general, it's not that in general, it's not that gross that we think that I am the supreme controller, or, you know, I'm really, you know, I'm this. I mean, you have to be really gone too much to the other side, that demoniac thing of Ishwaraham Hambogi type of thing. You know, I mean, there's a whole spectrum. There's a whole spectrum on that. And, you know, you got demons that are really like, I mean, they're so out there. The perfect description of that appears in the Bhagavad Gita of this demoniac mentality. And you have people that exemplify that. Politicians and, you know, like all kinds of materialistic people, and that the pride is so huge, the false ego is so huge, that, you know, it's almost funny. It's you know, people make comedy out of the craziness of that inflated false ego. But in general, devotees, they naturally, we all influenced by this desire to control, because it's just part, that's why we're here in the material world. As soon as we come to the material world to experience how to be Krishna, so always remember His Grace Ravindasuru Prabhu always say that every one of us has our little Krishna project. You know, we have this project of being little Krishna or a personality of Godhead. So we come with this already. So it's ingrained in our condition. And we try to control our environment, the things that surrounds us. We're trying to keep control. And in one sense, you know, I mean, one can see it. It's just to keep certain sense and order to our attachments and our condition. The power that this world is helping us to realize is that at every moment we've been sort of that whole conception is being baffled and challenged and you know, sort of exposed that we're not. And therefore the ordeal, the struggle, help us, you know, break down from that misconception of being a controller. So, but in general, you know, in the process of purification, we have the propensity to control. I mean, even Lord Brahma, who is such a, you know, great exalted personality, the pose of Lord Brahma is given to the most pious person in this material world, who have this propensity to control, you know, the jiva, and is, but because it's a highly elevated personality, is able to use that propensity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are in that process, but the problem is with when we are in the process of learning how to properly use that propensity that we have, or that condition that we have, then when you clash with another one who is having that same propensity, then that's when the conflict comes. But that in itself is part of the whole purification thing, because, you know, it's not a smooth ride, because it's an impossibility. We're not the controllers, so we, you know, we have conflicts. So for devotees, it's almost like a necessary thing to be around. We're around devotees, and we have to deal with the conflict that arises out of, you know, clashes of egos, you know. So each one of us have to make the point of overcome that. Otherwise, it will escalate to the point that it can become dangerous for your advancement in Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. So we have no choice to actually pay attention to that. Otherwise, we get stuck. You know, it's the problem with the spiritual growth is that there is no hovering. It's either you go up or you go down. So in general, how it works for us is that we go in this up and down thing. If you keep the process of sadhana, you know, you keep into a, you know, this up and down thing, anishtata bhakti, you know, unsteady, meaning that sometimes up, sometimes down, as long as you remain in the process of sadhana. But if you start to lack in the following the process of sadhana, and you start to just not follow in sadhana, then what happens is that all the things, you know, when it start to go down, there's no going up. There's that danger. You can start to go down and down and down. And the going down and down is that you have no control over your condition of being, you know, a controller. It's natural. I'm a controller, but then I'm surrounded by other people that think themselves to be controllers. And one of them is going to step on my toe, and then if you step in my area of control, I'm going to tell you, get out. Or, you know, either you follow my, you know, my control, or, you know, don't. So then it becomes a conflict. It's natural. So we have to apply ourselves. We have to apply. It's a dangerous game to rationalize and to sort of trying to remain into a status quo, more or less, like my comfort zone. There's never a moment of a comfort zone in our process of devotional service, in a process of purification. There's no comfort zone. If we get comfortable, is going to be problematic. You have to get shut down of that comfort zone. You always have to be, you know, pushing and pushing and pushing until you're able to break through. So, you know, some talks on that. Karuna Nidhi Prabhu.
In Upanishad, there's a nice verse like that. Apani pada javani grihita. Sapasyati achakhu. Sasunati akarna. Nacha tasasti beta. Ta mahuragyam prisam mahantam. There is the line that is, no, there is nobody is saveti vetam. Nasa tasasti beta. Saveti beta means nobody knows more than, you know, Krishna, anything. And nobody is equal with him. That's why Prabhupada always used to word asamavruddha. Asamavruddha means nobody is equal with him or nobody is greater than him. Like in Bhagavad Gita also similar verse, mata parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya. Nobody is equal to him or greater than to him. So, here of course that Garg Muni is stating, he is not equating, but he is telling just like, because Nanda Maharaj had a particular deity in his room, in his home, that he was following Narayana, Narayanam. That's why he is just giving similar, not equating. That's what Prabhupada is telling. That is, I was told, not equating. He's just telling, giving a, just to get a, same time he is trying, Gargamani is trying to put him in an illusion, you know. Like that, you know, again in the next moment he's telling that you have to protect the child. So if he is a supreme lord, then what is the use of protecting? So that means in his intention, according to his intention, that means he wants to put Nanda Maharaj also in illusion, you know, to, just to enhance his parental love, you know. So another thing also, your thought was coming about, you mentioned very nice things about Venkat Bhatta. Venkat Bhatta is actually, he's very, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, his family is very glorious. Like, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that his brother, he had two brothers, one brother, his name is Prabodhananda, Prabodhananda Saraswati. He is a very great, you know, we have seen a lot of slokas from him, verses he composed. And also his son is Gopala Bhatta Goswami. He was at that time, when Lord Chaitanya visited, only he was 7 years old. But he wanted to move away from his home to go to Vrindavan. Because, you know, but Mahaprabhu checked him. No, not now. You serve your parents. Then when time will come, you'll go and meet Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, two jewels. Very nice, very glorious for him. you're right. They are, they belongs to, what is that called? They are Sri Sampradaya. What is that? Sri Sampradaya. But later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted to him. These are Gaudi Vaishnava. Right. Very nice family. Thank you.
Thank you, Guru. I'm going to finish here, if it's all right with you. I actually have to run. Thank you so much. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.